Cultured Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
Welcome to Virtual Reality Church.
Welcome to our virtual church.
Is there some type of way for a virtual congregation?
You're not a congregation if you don't congregate.
When you combine this access with the loss of the local, I become my own confession, and I go around the world wide web listening for echoes that say back to me what I've already decided to believe.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Is this missing from your Christian faith? This is Wretched Radio. You say what? Glad you asked. Yesterday on this here Wretched Radio program, I shared a little bit of an article from Virgil Walker at G3 Ministries regarding the subject of pornography. Don't panic. It's not just going to be about porn. It is going to be about an aspect, not the totality, but an aspect of Christianity that I wonder if it is missing in your life. I wouldn't paint any broad brush strokes and say this is missing in a lot of evangelicalism, because I haven't surveyed all of evangelicalism. So we will just do a self-survey. Is this aspect of Christianity missing? Martin Luther famously, supposedly said, the Christian walk is like a drunken man on a horse, falls off the left side, gets up, climbs on the horse, falls off the right side. It's really easy to land in a ditch, and we don't want to do that. But just because there are risks to walking the Christian life in a balanced fashion, that does not mean that we don't attempt to do so, because we could fall off the other side. No matter, if you aren't walking the line rightly, and I'm not talking about sanctification, I'm just talking about theologically. I'm talking about understanding the Christian faith and how God is and who Jesus is. If you don't walk that line, you're in a ditch. So we shouldn't be terrified to explore if there's maybe something missing, because there might be a bit of a pitfall involved. A number of years ago, 15 perhaps, maybe 20 years ago. Let's say 15. Maybe somebody has got a better history of this than I do, but I'm going to give Tully and Chavijan credit for the Hyper Grace movement. He's the fellow who really popularized it. His preaching, I think it was either Ephesians or Colossians. It was some really good stuff. And it magnified grace. And I think a lot of it was in a good way. But it went too far. And it turned grace into antinomianism. It turned grace into, we don't need to worry about sin, righteousness, judgment, because we've got grace. And that trend was relatively popular. And I think people now hopefully have found their balance. But having said that, we don't want to lose sight of how amazing grace is, right? So we don't see the hyper grace movement and recoil to the no grace movement. We don't want to do that. We got to find our balance on this. And I think the same thing is true when it comes to motivation. Why do you fight sin? Why do you try to be godly? Why do you seek to have your marriage play a part in God's cosmic drama? The husband plays the role of Jesus. The woman plays the role of the church. What's your motivation for all of this? And I wonder if in part, we haven't forgotten a particular aspect of who God is and what he wants for us. And maybe, just maybe, we don't have a tank full of fuel to fight and battle sin like we once did. Let me share with you from this article what I'm talking about. I think Virgil makes the point clear. He's writing in the context of pornography. And as I mentioned yesterday, I just went, oh, good. This is so refreshing to read, because it isn't just a scold of pornography. Should there be a scold of pornography? Absolutely. Dude, you're acting like a dirtbag. Seriously, get your eyes off of that trash. That stands, and we shouldn't apologize for that. But I wonder if, in our zeal for sanctification, we haven't forgotten another motivation. I think there's actually a couple. One would be rewards. One would be crowns. I don't think it should be our primary motivation. I think that's really clear in Matthew 19. When Peter asks, hey, what's our reward for leaving everything in response to the rich young ruler who wouldn't leave everything? And Jesus said, you're going to be rewarded, but he tells a parable, watch your tood. Don't be seeking to do things rightly just because you get a reward. Now, that isn't to say that getting a reward can't be a motivation. I think it can be. I just don't think it should be a primary motivation. It's better than nothing to be motivated by God's benevolent rewarding of his faithful children. That can be an awesome motivation, but I don't think it should be the biggie. I think the big motivation should be what God has done for me. Why on earth wouldn't I want to be his obedient child? But in that, I think, is buried another motivation. And that is the motivation of enjoying good things. Now, by that, I don't mean a fine meal. I'm not talking about Diet Mountain Dew and cherry Twizzlers. I'm not talking about that. Those are very fine things. Those are good things. But I'm not talking about those things. I'm not talking about vacations or amassing stuff. I'm talking about the things that are lofty and that are good and that are transcendent and ethereal that we should be setting before men and women to say, God wants these good things for you. All right, sorry, I'm going to dip into Sunday's sermon. Jesus tipped tables in the temple. It's Matthew chapter 21. His ministry of traveling around Israel has ended. So the itinerant part is done. And he zeroes in on Jerusalem. And he, go read it. It is, go, if you can do three chapters of reading, do it in one sitting. Read 21, 22, and 23. Because Jesus enjoins the battle with the religious leaders. He just goes after them, one after another. He enters the city. It is a humble way, but nevertheless, it was an attention-getting way as people are shouting and laying down the palm branches. You don't think the chief priests, the rulers, and the Pharisees and the scribes knew about it? Of course they did, because the very next story is Jesus goes into the temple and cleanses it again. John chapter 2, he did it the first time. Matthew chapter 1, this is the second time because the details are so different. He did it again. By the way, I learned something interesting. This is why sometimes reading a lot on culture and context regarding your verses is so helpful. Do you know who was running the mercenary system, the foreign currency exchange system, the buying of sacrifice system that was happening in the court of Gentiles in the Temple Mount in Matthew 21, which caused Jesus to tip the place over? Annas and his five sons. Well, isn't that intriguing? Who is this Annas? Well, he was the chief priest when Jesus was born. He was not the chief priest, but he was still a wielder of influence, most likely running the mercenary enterprises in the court of Gentiles. And guess who Jesus is brought to first when his trial begins? Annas. Acts chapter 4. Peter and John are arrested for preaching the gospel. In front of whom do they appear? Annas. You don't suppose that he was agitated at this table tipper, Jesus Christ, who came to make his father's house a house of prayer and not a mercenary endeavor? And he will tip over tables when he sees impurity in his house. He will tip over tables when he sees haughtiness. He will tip over tables when he doesn't see prayer, when he doesn't see praise, when he doesn't see healing. And I'm not talking about physical healings. I'm talking about a sanctification healing process. That's what he desires for his temple. Well, that temple's gone. Certainly, he desires those things for his church. But furthermore, he still desires those things for his temple. And who are those temples? You are a temple of the Holy Spirit. And Jesus is zealous, therefore, just like he was for his house, he's zealous for his new house, you. He wants you to be praising and praying and to be humble and to be serving and to be battling sin and to be assured of yourself. He wants those. He's zealous for you. He's zealous for you. God is zealous for you. By the way, zeo is the word. It's a Greek word. It's onomatopoetic. It sounds like something. They thought sounded like water that is boiling over in a pot. Seo. So it's somebody who's boiling over, somebody who's hot, somebody who's fervent. They're zealous. And that's what Jesus was for his temple. That's what Jesus is for his church. And that's what he's zealous for you. He's zealous that you would enjoy the finest things, not just good, not just better, the absolute premium, the best is what he wants for you. He wants those things. And that means now when you engage in your battle against sin, it's not just, it should be, yes, I get to do the best thing and not turn on my computer and look at smut. This is Wretched Radio.
You ever notice how Christians sometimes dance around the J word? You know, judging. Yeah, we've gotten so scared of our culture that we're practically doing spiritual gymnastics trying to avoid it. What if I told you that righteous judgment isn't just some outdated concept? It's actually one of God's greatest gifts to protect his flock. That's why I'm fired up about our new resource, Thou Shalt Judge, with Todd Friel and Justin Peters. It's honestly judging how we judge. Listen, if you're tired of watching your loved ones fall for every wind of doctrine that blows through TikTok, this resource could be an answered prayer. 13 powerful lectures that will revolutionize how you view biblical discernment. Plus, because we love you, there's a free study guide included. It's time to stop tiptoeing and start standing firm. Your family and friends need you anchored in God's Word now more than ever at FortisInstitute.org. That's the Fortis store at FortisInstitute.org. Thou Shalt Judge with Todd Friel and Justin Peters.
The life issue. We cannot disengage from the battle. And there is a way that you can win a life and rescue a soldier who's about to be executed through abortion. Preborn.org/wretched. Ultrasounds still save lives. These pregnancy centers that progressives would love to shut down or arrest people for praying in front of abortuaries, they're still doing excellent work and babies are still being rescued. This is a tangible way to save a life. An ultrasound is $28. 80% of the time, mom chooses life. Want to engage in the battle? This ain't about politics. This is about saving those who are staggering to the slaughter, period. Preborn.org/wretched. Preborn.org/wretched.
Hey, thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. Thanks to faithful supporters just like you, our new Fortis Institute podcasts aren't just reaching people, they're making waves. Every single one of our new shows ranks at least in the top 10% of all podcasts worldwide, some climbing even higher than that. From Integrated with Dr. John Krotz to Way of Manhood with Dr. Adam Tyson, these programs are doing exactly what they were intended to do. They're touching lives and they're transforming hearts. But here's the thing, we can't continue this vital work without your help. As we face this brave new world together, I want to ask if you would consider joining us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner. Only if you're already faithfully giving to your local church, though, and not strapped by any type of unmanaged debt. If those areas in your life are in order, would you consider joining us? Because your support will help us produce even more life-changing content. Just visit FortisInstitute.org right now. That's FortisInstitute.org. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel.
Know your church fathers. Basil of Caesarea was the bishop of Caesarea in the 4th century. He was a defender of orthodoxy and wrote several important works proving the divinity of the Holy Spirit and refuting the Arian heresy. Most importantly, he introduced the Trinitarian formula, describing God as one being and three persons. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
May I make a confession, please? This is Wretched Radio. Here's my confession. Anytime when I'm standing in front of this here microphone and the sermon from Sunday that I preached comes to mind, I always hesitate to use it. I don't know why. It's like, well, that was for church and this is just a different thing. And it's kind of like I'm cheating because I'm using this for that. And I feel kind of bad about using it. But I'm not sure I should feel terrible because I think if nothing else, it demonstrates a truism. And that truism is garbage in, garbage out. You are what you eat. Do you know why the sermon keeps coming to my mind? It's because I've been studying it intensely. That's why I've been thinking on it really hard. And so it's there. And what is there is what comes out here. And I share that not merely to be confessional, but to perhaps be an encouragement to you. What are you feeding yourself with? What is your diet, your daily diet? Now, your ongoing consumption of God's word, truth, preaching, being involved in your church, reading good books about Jesus Christ. Well, how much stuff is going in there about them? Because I'm telling you, the more of that goes in, the more of it will come out, which means because you have limited capacity, a lot of the garbage that was in there just gets pushed out. It just gets shoved to the background at least, or entirely eradicated. It just gets vacated. It is, and you are just filled with thoughts that are pure, lovely, and worthy of praise. So maybe a challenge to consider your diet, and a challenge courtesy of Virgil Walker at G3 to be motivated to do that, to consume more of Christ by staring at his face in the word of God, because it's so good for you. It's good for you. Come on, it's doubtful you put much into your body that you know is terrible for you. That food, is it true that we pulled that out of the garbage? I think I'll have that. No, it's like, ugh, I don't want that. I want good food because it's better for you. Now, that's true of nutrition, but it's also true of spiritual things. What you put into your eyeballs, what you consume, it gets in there. It really does. And what makes it so insidious is it's not like it's bad for you necessarily. It's like it's not like it's a bad thing, but it's not the best thing. So for instance, I might get into trouble with this one just because I might run out of gas with the illustration, but like watching football. Look, everybody's got discretionary time. You watch football if you choose to. We do. We'll watch a little bit of football. We'll consume some of that stuff. But if that's all I'm consuming, there's stuff that's getting in there. I promise you, there's stuff that's getting in there. You know what might be a better example would be daytime television. I think it was last week when it was really cold and we wouldn't be safe, so we couldn't leave our houses. And I think I turned on the TV. It might have been to check on the Australian Open. Just to see who was winning and who was losing. And it was like some sort of talk show or some one of these women that does these stuff. And it's like, it is so tinny and it is so trumped up. And I don't mean that in a presidential kind of way. I mean, you know, just the hype of it. And that gets in, just like social media and Instagram gets in. Everybody's beautiful. Everybody's perfect. Every meal looks better than what I've got in front of me. It's just all better, better, better. And that gets in there. It starts to infect your thinking and your emotions and your will. You can shove all of that out by having an imbalanced diet. Put in less world, put in more God, and you'll be controlled by him. And the motivation, among other things, first of all, we're commanded to do these things and we want to be obedient children. But I think that we can also be motivated by God is pleased and he rewards us when we're tired. I got to tell you, I know a guy who reads his Bible before falling asleep. And sometimes he finds his head bobbing and jerking. Now, is God pleased that I fall asleep reading his word? Well, I don't think it thrills him, but I wonder if he sees at least somebody who's struggling to read it and let that be the last thought of the day. And that he's pleased in our striving to be obedient. And for that, he rewards us. But because of this article from Virgil, I think we need to remember another motivating factor. And that is doing what we're told is so good for us. Isn't it funny? We tell our kids what to do. We control our little ones so much, don't we? Why? Because you know what's best. And then you can have a kid that they fall on the floor and they throw themselves and flail around and scream and shout and whine and pout. But you know better. You know better. And you look at them and you go, eh, you just don't know much. Ditto God. He knows better. Do it. He knows better. Enjoy the good thing. Doesn't feel like the good thing. It is the good thing. God said so. Do it. Virgil Walker, The Fight for Purity. A Guide for Single Men to Honor God and Build Faithful Marriages, presents it in a positive light. What makes purity so significant? It reveals who sits on the throne of your hearts. All right, that's elevating immediately. You look at porn and sits on the throne of your heart. Wouldn't it be better to have King Jesus there? It's not just about what you avoid. It's about what you pursue. And it's about what you are becoming. The fight for purity is to fight for clear vision, to see God more fully, to reflect his character more faithfully, and to worship him more wholly. Pornography is a predator. So Virgil struck the balance here. It's like, we're not going to just go to the ditch of, hey, it's just good, so maybe you won't think about sinning. No, there can be strong rebukes. There should be strong rebukes. We don't want to lose our balance on this. And so that's what this article, let's not sugarcoat this, said Virgil. Pornography is a predator. It's not just a bad habit. It's a weapon of the enemy. And it's designed to erode your soul, distort your view of women, and destroy your intimacy with God. Now, what is better? A distorted view of women, a weak relationship with your God, and a shriveled soul, or to be a strong man, to be a strong woman who's convictional, who seeks to do godly things, whose relationship with God isn't tarnished with all of the ongoing sin. Which is better? God's right. Don't do those things. You can exchange porn for whatever it is, the bottle, drugs, whatever your bag is. It's just not as good. He wants better things. He's zealous for you to have them. The hookup culture reduces something sacred to a soulless transaction, leaving scars that often linger far longer than the thrill of the moment. The world's version of freedom is slavery. True freedom comes from living within the boundaries of God's commands. You want true freedom? Obey God. It's that simple. We just like to think, well, I'm nobody's fool. I'm in control of this stuff. No, if you're caught in a sin like pornography, you are in shackles. And being obedient breaks the chains and liberates you. And Jesus will give you the strength because he's zealous for you. If God has called you to marriage, then your fight for purity today is not just about you. It's about your future wife and family. That's a good word. Single people, this is your training ground. Every temptation resisted, every boundary maintained, every habit of discipline cultivated is a step toward becoming the man who can lead his wife with integrity and grace. Want to be that dude? Stop. Do what he says, or he'll tip over your table. That's a threat. Jesus is so zealous for you. Do you think that somehow he just had such a bug against the religious leaders of his day that were making his house a mercenary endeavor, a den of robbers? He's zealous for it, and he tipped over tables. And he will do that in you, his temple, because he wants best. See it that way. See the threatenings Absolutely. See the rewards positively, but also know that your choice, whether you sin or not, is a choice of awful or the best. You choose your way, it's the worst. You choose Jesus' way, and it is always the best way. The fight for purity, Virgil, is not just about avoiding sin. It's about embracing a greater purpose. It's about living for the glory of God and preparing for the rewards that come with faithfulness. That's exact. Rise up. Reject the lies of this world. Fight for the glory of your King and the good of your future. Purity is not a burden. It is a banner of allegiance to the one who is worthy of all honor and praise. That should be at least one of your motivations. The good things that only Jesus can provide. This is Wretched Radio.